In your please for our second reading, and we'll find that reading in 1 Kings chapter 12. First Kings chapter 12, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had commanded or appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform the saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, they sent and called him unto the congregation, and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, and 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, to the remnant of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house. For this thing is from me. They hearkened, therefore, to the word of the Lord and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Wherefore the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Israel. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up of the land of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and offered upon the altar and burnt incense. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In the first section of this chapter, I have that as verses 1 through 15. We have Rehoboam coming to Shechem and interviewing with the people from the northern kingdom, Israel, before the kingdom was divided. And they come to him with what seems to be a reasonable petition. We have been under a heavy yoke with your father. Now let's just stop and think about that for a moment. We have been reading through the history. It's pretty clear what they mean. Your father Solomon dealt a heavy tax upon us because he was building things. He took of our men and took them to Lebanon to work in the forests. He took of our gold and of our silver and of some of the other precious things that we had because he was building the temple and his palace. And you know, we understood that. We get that. Although it was grievous, we bore it. But now, you're not building anymore. There's no more building going on. There's no temple to be built. It's built. There's no palaces to be built. They are built. There's no one that needs to be conscripted, 30 or 40,000 at a time or 80,000 at a time to go up into Lebanon and work in the forests there, or to work with the founder in the plains to dig and to form. That doesn't need to be done now. All of that is complete. And so your father did lay a grievous yoke upon us, but now we believe that the time for that yoke, that grievous yoke, that it can be rolled back, it can be scaled back. Sounds like a pretty reasonable request. How many times in the history of mankind has a government ever rolled back a tax? Think of it in that tent, in that sense, in that way. Well, so Rehoboam meets with the counselors that stood before his father and that counseled his father. Now, let's just think about that for a second. Solomon was the wisest man ever to walk upon the face of the earth. God endued him with a supernatural wisdom, aside from, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is truth itself. And there are these men that stood before Solomon to be his counselors. Okay, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that they were pretty sharp cookies. They counseled Solomon the Great. And so they said to Rehoboam, if you roll back the tribute that your father laid upon them, they will serve you forever. That's all. Very short. And yet very wise. And so notice what Rehoboam did. He didn't say, let me think about that a while. He didn't say, that's a really interesting point that you bring up. Tell me the arguments. What it says, what the Bible tells us very clearly, is that he rejected the counsel of the old men and went immediately to the young men. In other words, Rehoboam already had the answer when he came to ask the question. You know what that is, right? Yeah, it's just wickedness. It's deception. He already had the answer. And so when they didn't give him the answer that he wanted, he did what we call today, he went shopping. He went shopping for counsel that he could get behind. And so he found that counsel in the young men that grew up with him. And there's an obvious implication there that they did not have the wisdom nor the experience that the men who stood before Solomon did. And yet, since their counsel was more like his counsel that he wanted to receive, so then he received it out of hand. Without comment, without question, thank you for telling me what I was only wanting to do in the first place. Well, there's a lesson there for all of us. So, at the end of the 3 days, the people come to him, and he repeats verbatim the words of his young friends who told him what he wanted to hear, who said, no, there's not going to be a rollback of taxes, rather there's going to be an increase. And if you don't pay up, I'm going to become even more vehement than my father was. He chastised you with whips. I've got scorpions for that. Thank you very much. Okay, so we get the scene. We understand what goes on. But there's something that happens beyond that that is, I think speaks to the hubris of Rehoboam. Now listen to what happens here. Okay, well, Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, they say, what interest have we in David any longer? To your tribes, Israel, to your tents, David, leave us alone and we'll leave you alone. Rehoboam says, not so fast. I'm still going to send out my tax collector here to collect the taxes. Did you hear that? So they send him out and they have to drag him back because they killed him. The decision of Rehoboam, not only to reject the council, but then the hubris to send in the collector of the tribute after such an exchange as that, cost the man his life. Can you imagine the man? You want me to do what? There's an obedient guy, right? He did what his king told him to do. So then, the next thing that Rehoboam does is he comes back home and he gathers Benjamin. And so now it's Benjamin and Judah against the 10 tribes. And Rehoboam says, how many soldiers do we have? 180,000. All right, let's gather them up and let's go get that kingdom. That's our kingdom up there. Let's go get it. Those rebels, you can almost hear the irony there, right? And so they pack up and they start to march. And then Shemaiah, the prophet, rises up and says, Lord says, don't do that. Lord says, put that away. This is of me. I have torn the kingdom into these pieces today. And to Rehoboam's credit, he stops. And he tells them to stand down. And instead, he gets about other kingly duties. And we'll read about that in other places. But he builds some cities instead. He does some things that belong to his office rather than stirring everyone up to go to war. All right, so that's the first 24 verses of the chapter. Then 25 through the end of the chapter is Jeroboam. And we find that what goes on in Jeroboam's mind was, as soon as the Lord gave him what he promised he would give him, he turned his back on everything that the Lord said. The Lord said, if you will obey me, if you'll follow me, if you'll keep my commandments, I'll establish your throne like I said to David that I would establish his. But the first thing that Jeroboam did was he began the innovation of the worship of God, which eventually led, and let's make sure that we burn this into our minds, okay? Burn this into your mind. The first step is always, the Lord doesn't mind if we worship him like this. The next step is, how about those other gods? Isn't that what we see in the northern kingdom? The Lord doesn't mind if we worship him like this. and then, hey, how about those other gods? So what does Jeroboam do? He says, you know, I'm going to lose the kingdom if everyone travels south to the only place in the whole wide world that the Lord said he would accept sacrifices. If they travel down there, they'll become loyal again to that kingdom down there, and they'll put me out of the kingdom and they'll kill me. And so I'm going to build up a worship here so they don't have to travel so far. Oh, Israel, it's too much trouble to go all the way to Jerusalem. You can worship here with these calves that I've built. Now notice what Jeroboam did. This is, I think, a common malady among people generally. He had a design. He had a thing that he wanted to do. He had a plan. What was his plan? Set up an alternate worship. What was the rationale for that plan? Even though it was a sinful plan. Well, it's to prevent a greater evil. Really, what's the greater evil that it will prevent other than the perversion of the Word of God? What would be so wicked, so evil, so debilitating that we must endure this evil to prevent what evil? Tell me, Jeroboam. Well, they'll kill me. They'll kill me. Number one, he had no assurance of that. As a matter of fact, he had quite an assurance to the contrary. If you obey me, the Lord said, I'll build your house up like David's house. Well, if I let the people go to Judah, they'll become loyal to Rehoboam and they'll kill me. And so he made up an emergency, didn't he? And because he made up an emergency, then he was able to justify in his mind what he knew to be wrong, the setting up of a false worship. And then the setting up of that false worship in Dan and Bethel. And by the way, Bethel is the older name of that city. In later days, because of the vanity that went on there, they called it Beth Aven, the house of vanity, because of the golden calf being there. And what did he say? Well, I'm just following the example of godly Aaron here. These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Don't we have a history? Isn't there precedent here? And yeah, for ignorant people, precedent works pretty well. And so they all rose up together in the northern kingdom, and they decided then that they didn't need to travel to Jerusalem anymore. That was just too much trouble when they could worship locally in this perverse system of Jeroboam. And so Jeroboam sows the seeds of his own death and destruction. And we're going to find that out in the next chapter when he stretches forth his hand and suddenly he just can't get it back in again. And we'll figure that out next week, Lord willing. Let's stand and continue praising God.